Tuesday, Unwoke Nation, and I want to welcome you to episode 50 of The Unwoke Show, where free speech is welcome, all subjects are on the table, and your boys Rich and Tim bring you the latest and greatest information every single week for your enjoyment, baby. I'm your host, Rich, along with my co-host right here. How you doing there, Timmy?
Good, and you, Rich, man?
Doing great, man, doing great. We are glad. So we had a pretty interesting week here and all with the whole eclipse going on. I know what's going on from pretty much from the state of, state of Indiana going all the way up towards Maine, I think.
Yeah, and then it went the other way down towards Texas and stuff.
Oh, hey, there you go. Yeah, so I know we got to witness some of it. And so how was your experience with it, man?
Man, it was good. I enjoyed it. Kind of surreal to be sitting out there and all of a sudden it gets really dark and the temperature changes and everything. And got to see the aura around, the moon and the sun being... then the birds got quiet, then all of a sudden they got really, really loud again and stuff. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, no, it was good. It was fun. Really enjoyed it. Hope Unwoke Nation had a great time checking out the eclipse. And as always, guys, you can check us out on your favorite podcast platform. We're on Spotify, Apple, Google, Amazon, all the major podcasting platforms. So tune in, check us out. And tonight we're going to kick off with, I guess we could say this is somewhat of a follow-up to episodes that we have covered in the past as it relates to mass shootings. Maybe this is kind of a follow-up, maybe not. We have talked, like I said, in the past, we've talked about mass shootings. So yesterday, actually... this had to be about a year or so ago, there was a what it was called a mass shooting, and to classify as a mass shooting, more than four people have to be injured in order to be classified as a mass shooting, right?
Right.
So this happened up in Michigan, and the recap is a kid by the name of Ethan Crumbly was experiencing mental issues. Mm-hmm. And he had informed his parents, I need help. I'm hearing things in my head. I feel like I could cause harm. There were a number of factors that he was relaying to his folks. And he had said it in text messages. And basically, I think it was more of the father than the mother, but she's just as equally culpable in this.
Is this the same case where I think he was texting his mom while in class?
Yeah, and so the father basically told him, toughen up, you're fine, and stuff. So for his birthday, the parents bought him a handgun.
Wow.
Yeah, they completely ignored what their son was telling them, that, hey, I need mental help. I'm, like I said, hearing things, stuff like that. So ultimately, and tragically, four people were killed at an Oakland school up in Michigan. And the parents, I think, almost tried to kind of hide a little while from authorities and stuff, and before they were finally caught. And so Jennifer and James Crumbly were sentenced. In fact, it was yesterday.
Yeah.
And they were convicted of manslaughter, and they were sentenced to between 10 and 15 years. Now, keep in mind, they've already been serving 2 years in prison.
Have they decided if that's going to count towards their sentence?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so it's basically 13.
Got it. It could be.
Max.
Yeah. So, and why this is important and why we're covering this tonight is this is the first case where the parents have been held accountable for the actions of a child as it relates to a mass shooting. This is the very first case. And it'll be interesting to see what comes out of this going forward. And what I mean by that is, you know, we've been, I guess you'd call it, plagued by mass shootings over the last, you know, I guess you could call it a few years, right?
Yeah.
Not just in the United States, but around the world.
Yeah, I mean, they've been, I guess we would have to look at the statistics or to see how often where I guess they've been going on.
Right.
I know you and I have seen many of them from the Sandy Hook to Las Vegas to Virginia Tech. And, you know, in other words, well, what I'm talking about is over the course of several, probably in the last decade or something like that.
Right.
And it's like, yeah, so it's obviously been a massive issue. But as you said, I mean, this is an unprecedented thing where, I mean, I'm sure we've heard many of people in the past going like, you know, like we think about the Columbine, which happens to be, you know, we think about the Columbine case and we right. kind of go like, well, how did the parents not know that these two kids were taking guns? Was there any type of red flags, you could say, that made them want to, that made it like, yeah, there's something wrong with these two kids always wearing trench coats all the time. And
right. know, the trench coat mafia.
Yeah.
I mean, even in Indiana, for example, right, back at the end of March, there were seven juveniles between the ages of 12 and 16 that were in downtown Indianapolis that were shot.
Mm-hmm.
And the police have finally made an arrest, and they arrested a 17-year-old gentleman by the name of King Dennis. And so why I'm reporting that is the fact that, again, it ties into, you know, the whole mass shooting and whatever side of the fence you're on this, whether you're a 2A supporter, non-2A supporter. Again, the significance of this case is the fact that we have actual accountability being applied to parents, right? Being applied someplace, because before then, the accountability always fell on the firearm, right?
Itself,
right? It never took into account,
I mean,
the
even
person the, or anything like that, right?
Yeah, I mean, even when we think about the case of the tragic case of Sandy Hook and all, I mean, you had the families that were, they ended up suing Remington for $50 million.
Right.
Because the suspect actually used one of their weapons, and it's like, shouldn't it be more about the person who actually fired the weapon as
Absolutely.
Opposed to, it's like, you know, because, I mean, think about it. If there's a stabbing, you don't sue a knife-making company.
Right, exactly. So and this is coming directly from Reuters, and it says, these convictions confirm repeated acts or lack of acts that could have halted an oncoming runaway train, about repeatedly ignoring things that make a reasonable person feel the hair on the back of their neck stand up, the judge said.
Mm.
Prosecutors in the trials of both Crumbleys said the parents were criminally negligent for giving their child a 9mm semi-automatic pistol as a Christmas present, and for ignoring signs his mental health had deteriorated and that he was potentially violent. Now, on the flip side of this, the parents' defense team argued, among other points, that it was impossible for the mother and the father to envision their son who would carry out a mass shooting. Well, that's just stupid in itself, because I don't know a single parent that would ever look at their kid and say, you know what? I think he's got one or two mass shootings in him.
Mm.
Right? I mean, who would ever... Nobody would ever... could foresee that or think of that. So to call that out is a point. It is just stupid. And so I think this is important, because I am a 2A supporter. And so, you know, all of a sudden everybody out there in the world's rolling their eyes like, yeah, exactly. That, exactly. That, oh, now you're just backing, you know, 2A backing. No, I, as a responsible gun owner myself.
Yes.
There has to be accountability someplace. Well, now people could take that and say, Tim, well, why aren't we holding the gun manufacturers accountable? Yeah, because the gun manufacturers themselves are not going out and committing these atrocities, right? As I've said before, and I'll say it again, guns don't go off unless there is somebody pulling the trigger.
Right, exactly. And that's just what, you know, it's just so... I don't understand when you get people who... Especially get some people who, not all, but just, you know, the ones that wish to come forward and try to unwrap a brain cell, but only to find out how stupid they are about guns. Mm-hmm. Is how they want to sit there and they're saying it's like, you know, oh, well, it's all about the being the guns and they're the ones who's actually causing it and all this other stuff. And, you know, I just look at this mentality was like, okay, we have a right to be able to protect ourselves. I am sick and tired of people, and I don't mean to go on political on this part, but it's just kind of like, I'm sick and tired of hearing people, some of them making it sound like, oh, it's like, you know, just, we're just looking for certain guns or anything like that. It's like, no, people who have certain gender, they want to get rid of all guns.
Right.
They basically say, you, Tim, As a law-abiding owner of a gun, a person who supports two, as you just mentioned, is a dangerous person. Like, you, because you are 2A and you have your concealed carry and like that, you're likely to go out there and just want to shoot somebody. I mean, this feels before reals bullcrap. It's ridiculous. Now, when we look at the situation where, you know, it's like, yes, four lives could have been prevented. Absolutely. Had they been, I think, as you said, you know, the judge mentioned where it said, this doesn't have to do with parenting, but there are certain things that you could have prevented would have kept four people alive, according to the studies that we did.
Right.
And so it's like, yeah, I mean, I think this is something that's justified. Of course, it's unprecedented because, like you said, I mean, we've never seen anything like that at all. But I think people have wanted that for years when they've seen previous situations, maybe unfortunately similar to this, where they've kind of gone like, why aren't the parents taking some type of responsibility?
Absolutely. And so on the morning of the rampage, both parents were actually summoned to their son's school after teachers discovered violent messages and drawings on his schoolwork.
There you go.
The Crumbleys were told Ethan needed immediate counseling, but prosecutors said the couple resisted taking the teen home that day and didn't search his backpack or ask him about the gun they knew he could access.
They knew
that he could access.
Come on now.
Yeah. And so, as a result, Ethan returned to class. He later walked out of the bathroom with a gun and began firing. Right. So, between text messages that were sent to the parents clearly ignoring all the warning signs. I personally feel this is a good thing that the parents were held, you know, accountable for their child's action.
I would agree because now, there's things, you know, like we said, there's things going to be prevented.
Yeah, absolutely. And do I think this is going to open the floodgates?
Well, case by case.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a case by case basis, but holding the gun manufacturers accountable for what's for their product and what it is ridiculous. I mean, we don't. Do we hold the automakers accountable
for accidents?
Yeah, for accidents that are committed by people who don't know how to drive? No. The automakers are held accountable when there is a defect in their vehicle that causes an accident, right?
Right. Sure.
Right. That's why we have the NTSB to look into that and file complaints and everything. But again, trying to hold the gun manufacturers themselves is ultimately just, I think society, they don't know where to place blame.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to look internally.
Yeah.
Right? They don't want to look at themselves. You know, there've been cases where they wanted to, Daniel Defense came in, was one of the names that stands out there because of their weapon was involved in a mass shooting. And they said that because the way Daniel Defense markets to its customer base, right? It never once says, you know, it's the kids at fault, where, you know, where were the parents and all this or whatever. And so I see this as a first step in accountability. I hope more and more parents start questioning, should my kid have access to the gun safe?
Well, I mean, but also too, it's just like, you know, just knowing your kid.
Right. What was it, that bank shooting in Louisville?
Yeah.
That was completely ignored. And then, well, there was the shooting in Tennessee at the school.
Yeah. Oh, was it the person who ended up being like a trans?
Yeah.
At a Christian school.
Yeah. And so, ignoring the signs and stuff.
Yes. That's all we're saying. It's like, you know, we just, like, there's got to be signs where that you notice, you know, your kid is a little, you know, might be that type of person, or that you'd want to, I mean, that's kind of what I'm thinking. It's like, you know, you, like, mom and dad, you didn't notice that there was something on the top of that. You knew he's drawing all this different stuff. He's right. Telling us like that. I mean, he's probably drawing this stuff in class and doing all this, and that didn't throw you off, or there's no teachers or something like that saying, like, yeah, little Johnny's got a problem.
I mean, let's remove the kid from the equation for
okay.
Sure. As a parent, in your house, if you love firearms, you have a gun safe. You may have multiple gun safes, right?
Mm-hmm.
What harm is it? What harm is there if your kids, A, don't know where the keys are at to the gun safe, number one, or number two, don't know the codes to the gun safe, and the only way they're going to get access, let's say the son or daughter, they have a .22 and they want to go out shooting.
Right.
Obviously, they're going to go with, you know, their dad or mom, or it's going to be a family event, right?
Right.
But where's the harm in saying, you know what? I love my kids. On a certain level, I trust them. Right? They trust us when we're 16 years old to get behind the car and not kill somebody, type of thing. Right?
Right.
Where's the harm in saying, you know what? I trust my kids, but in this instance, with a firearm and what could potentially happen and the right. safety and everything else, no, I'll wait till they're adults, they moved out of the house or something like that. Right? I mean, because it's just, I would think, just that simple step.
Well, let's think about, like, you know, we go back to, like, the time of, like, the West. You know, I believe in the way it sounds like, from what I've learned, to where it's that, you know, when you had the Wild Wild West, where, so, I mean, you had a six-year-old where they knew how to shoot a rifle. But that six-year-old knew that that rifle was a tool.
Right.
You know, so what has changed from the time that we have kids now compared to kids out there, you know, going in the Wild West and stuff like that? So I agree with you. It's like, you know, yeah, you better really know your kid. You know, like, you know, there is a gun range I went to where that's in a town about an hour from here. And I know, I think that they said the minimum age is 10. But you have to be able to be with an adult, of course.
Well, sure.
You know, and also, but I would, you know, when I first saw that on the sign when I arrived in the gun range, you know, I thought to myself, I'm like, man, that's got to be one of those things. My son or daughter, I have to believe that they are pretty darn mature. But it is my responsibility as a parent
right.
to be able to say, like, look, this is not a toy. This is something you're going to do for one or two things. Either A, you're using this, depending on the gun, you're using this where that we go hunting or something sure. like that, or we're just going out to the gun range. Or two, in the last resort, that you know, and of course, hopefully you're practicing, you know, with your kid and all, so to know, you are to use this in the event of a possible threat in the home or something like that.
Right.
you know, and be able to stress that to kids, to the children, so that they understand that.
Right.
I think that's about the similar, whereas what you could say, like I'm saying, back in the Wild West.
Right.
What's your opinion?
So for me, I hope this is an awareness to parents. I don't want this to all of a sudden, I don't want this particular case to be a to be seen by parents like, oh shit, I could get sued, or I could be in trouble, or I could go to jail, right?
Right.
I want it to be more of, A, do I really know my kid the way that I think I do?
That's what it comes down to.
Right. And B, as a parent, can I take a preventative step by making sure everything is locked up, firearms related?
Mm-hmm.
If I buy my son a firearm, it goes in my safe.
Right.
And he does not get access to it.
Mm-hmm.
Without me being involved in, like I said, if we're going to go to the range or if we're going to go hunting, right?
Right.
Outside of that, I don't see any other reason that a child should, or a teen should have ready available access to anything that's in the safe.
Yeah.
Right. And so I hope this, I hope this case is eye-opening to parents from the standpoint, like I said, hopefully they're like, do I really know my kid and do I really trust my kid enough? Number one. And I'm not. And if you trust your kid, then you're gonna. Then obviously, you're saying I accept the consequences, of what could potentially happen. Or B, do I say what you know, or do I say I trust my kid, but I don't want to get sued.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to go to jail. I don't want mom to go to jail. I certainly don't want my kid to go to jail, and I don't want anybody at school being shut up. What if I just take the simple step of saying, I'm the only one that has the keys to the kingdom.
Yeah.
And you're not getting access to it unless you come to me. And then I'm going to be like, well, why do you need access to it? We're not going to a gun range. We're not going to hunt. And no, you're not going to show it off to your friends or anything like that. It's not a show and tell type of thing. If they want to show and tell, look up what it looks like on the internet. There you go. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I said, I think this is great. I think the first step in accountability, I think it's the first step in hopefully preventing future, mass shootings.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope, you know, Unwoke Nation, I would love to hear from you on this topic. You know, we are on all the major podcast platforms, Spotify, Amazon, Google, Apple, all the major podcasting platforms. You can reach us at feedback@unwoketheshow.com. That is feedback@unwoketheshow.com. And with that, I do want to make one special note, guys. This is our 50th episode.
Yes, absolutely. 50. I mean,
50. We've eclipsed the we've come to the 50. This is pretty exciting for me. I know it's pretty exciting for Rich. We've been at this a little over a year.
Yeah.
And we're having a great time with it. This train is just getting started. We're going to be going for a long time.
Mm.
But guys, thanks so much for tuning in. I'm excited to produce the next 50 episodes and beyond. So, Unwoke Nation, thanks again for tuning in. And as always, stay unwoke.
Thank you, Unwoke Nation. We appreciate you guys, and we'll see you next time.